My name is Justin Sawyer, and I'm 17 years old, and today is December 1st, 2020, and I'm speaking with my father. His name is Scott Sawyer, and we are recording this interview in Midlothian, Virginia. Okay, so can you tell me about someone who had a big influence on your life? Would you tell me about some of the most important lessons that person has taught you so far?
I would think that someone that had a big influence on my life was my father. He taught me some things. I use him as someone to teach me things not to do. He was a serial philanderer, a compulsive gambler, and he drank a fifth of whiskey and a case of beer every day until I was 13. I was the youngest of 10, so all my brothers and sisters grew up with a father who drank a lot and was very very selfish and very mean. So as a parent, I kind of looked to him to learn what not to do and how to behave and how to try to treat the people in my life a little bit better than he treated the people in his, and try to do quite the opposite that he did when raising his children. And but also he did teach me about having a strong work ethic and just making sure you try to provide for your family. And so there's some positives, a lot of negatives, but all in all, I would say he probably had the biggest influence on my life than anybody.
Can you tell me about your relationship with your parents when you were growing up?
When I was younger? Well, again, I was very, very close with my mother because I didn't see my father very much. He worked the night shift from 11 o'clock until 7 o'clock in the morning. So when he would come home, we would be going, most days we'd be going off to school. And on weekends, when he would be home on weekends, he would be there until it was time to go to the racetrack. So he would normally eat breakfast, and leave early in the afternoon for the racetrack, and then he would go to another racetrack at night. So that would be, his weekends were spent doing that. So I would spend a lot of time with my mother. My mother was probably the most important person in my life as far as who I looked up to. She was a very giving person, very caring, did everything for everybody. She would do anything she could to help her children, and she would do everything that she could to make us better. She tried to help us with our schoolwork as much as she could. She tried to do as much as she could as far as keeping, the house clean. And with very limited money, with 10 kids, she spent a lot of time trying to buy the best groceries that she could to make the best meals, and spent a lot of time, teaching me how to cook. One of the things I love to do now is to cook. And I learned to do that from my mother. But she was also just a very, very smart woman that didn't have the opportunity to use her smarts because she was held back by her father, by her husband, who was very, very controlling. So she always tried to teach us to don't waste our potential. She kind of felt like she wasted some of her potential by not furthering her education. So she always tried to make sure that we did the best that we could, despite, our father trying to tell us we didn't need an education, that all we had to do was get a job and, at a factory. He wanted us to be factory workers, and my mother wanted us to go to school and learn and develop our minds. So that's kind of, the life of that I led with my parents as far as not seeing my father as much and always being around my mother.
Okay. So I'm sure growing up in a household with 10 siblings, your mother, my grandma, probably had a hard time paying for everything, putting food on the table and everything. What was your relationship like with your siblings growing up, and then what are your relationships with them like today?
Well, I was the youngest of 10, and my next closest brother was 3 years and 3 months older than me. So I wasn't as close with them, and we kind of had different, I was really the only one that was more inclined to care about academics as well as athletics. All of my brothers, except for one, quit high school, and they all worked manual labor jobs. So I was the only son to go to school, and to go to college, and I was also the only one to participate in organized athletics of all my brothers. So it was a little bit different. They were involved in some nefarious things as far as, just doing things they shouldn't have been doing as far as hanging out with partying and drinking and probably smoking marijuana and things like that. And so we were a little bit, different than that growing up. But as I got older and started, when I finished school and got out of the Navy, I became a lot closer to them as we all got older and became adults. But growing up, I didn't have too much to do with them. I was more by myself or with friends, again, because they were all working. They all had jobs. They all had to, they all got married young and they all had kids very young. So it was a little bit different for me. I didn't get married till I was, 32 and didn't have my first child until I was 36. So they had all had many, many kids and marriages and different things like that. So we had different paths in life, but we love each other very much. And I still talk to them a lot and we're still very close with my brothers and sisters that are still alive today.
Okay. Did you have one specific sibling who would you say motivated you to do good in school or do good in athletics or anything like that?
No, I really didn't, because again, they all had their own separate lives, and I really didn't look for any of their approval or attention. I was very self-motivated, and as far as athletics, I would always want to do good to make my mother proud more than anything. I would say in school as well. So anything that I did where I wanted someone to be proud of or draw attention to myself was probably more for my mother than my brothers and sisters, because again, it was tough to do that when they were married and had kids of their own and things like that. So just a very different scenario than what most kids grow up with that have that many brothers and sisters.
Would you say that most of the things you did in school and athletics, like you said earlier, would you say that what pushed you to do so well in school would be your mother's approval and just to make her proud?
Well, I didn't do as well in school as I could have, because again, I had to, at the age of 14, I had to have a full-time job. So I was working 40 hours a week while I was participating in athletics at the high school level, working 40 hours a week and taking, all the advanced AP classes or, honors classes back then. So it was kind of tough to do really, really well in school. I wasn't that gifted of a student where I could just breeze through without putting in the extra time to do well. And because I had a 40-hour a week job and also participated in athletics, I didn't have the amount of time that I would have liked to have had to work on my academics.
Okay. With all these other things going on in your life at such a young age, would you say there's anything that you aspired to be when you grew up?
Yeah, except that I, at a very young age, probably like 14 or 15, I really wanted to be a marine biologist. But again, my father was a very negative guy, and anytime it would be brought up what I wanted to do, if I said that, I was always discouraged from doing that. Didn't have a lot of support from him. So really kind of, was led to believe that I couldn't do that, because he would always say you can't, it's a waste of time, it's a waste of money, this and that, and all the other things that go along with negativity that's heaped upon a young child growing up. So I would say that I always wanted to be a marine biologist, but never had the push to where I was made to believe that I actually could have done that.
Okay. Can you tell me a story about somebody who played an important role in your life growing up?
Yeah, a story about someone that played an important role in my life. Well, when I was in 10th grade, I played JV basketball, and I had a math teacher named Mrs. Baker, and Mrs. Baker was the indoor track coach while I was on the JV basketball team. And one day, I was dribbling the basketball on my way to basketball practice, and her indoor track team was running laps inside the school. They were actually running the stairs and running the hallways because it was too cold to run outside. And I had asked Miss Baker how one of her runners performed, and she said, "Oh, well, he came in first place." I said, "How did Billy Geschwell do in the race?" And she said, "He came in first." And my response to her was, "Huh, if I was there, he'd have come in second." And I had no idea that I could run, because in sixth grade, I tried out for the cross country team, and they took the 15 best runners to run against another elementary school. And I actually finished like 18th. Three girls actually beat me, so I wasn't very good in sixth grade. So I was just acting like a goofball and just said that to my math teacher. And so Miss Baker actually told the outdoor coach that, "Hey, there's this guy that's really, really good. He's even better than Bill Geschwell, who was one of the best runners in the county." So his name was Mr. Fossbender, and he was dating my French teacher. And he asked the French teacher to ask me if I would come out for outdoor track after basketball season. And I said no, and she said, "Well, if you go out for track, I'll give you enough extra credit to get you an A." And seeing that I was getting a C in the class, and I was horrific at the French language, I decided that, you know, it wouldn't hurt me just to go out and run and for a little bit and see, you know, see what happened just to get the extra credit. She didn't say how long I had to run. So 3 weeks into the track season, I went out and they lined me up, and the guy, Bill Geschwell, we lined up together to run a mile, and I just ran next to him until the last 100 yards, and then sprinted past him and actually beat him in the mile run. And from there on out, I found out that I could run, and I wound up winning the Anne Arundel County Cross Country Championship my senior year. Had a scholarship to run in college, and by me just being a complete goofball, found out that I was actually a nationally ranked distance runner and one of the top runners in the state of Maryland my senior year.
Okay, would you say that running for the school and your growing, would you say that running with the school and running, having taken up so much of your time in life, would that end up being an escape for your hectic household life?
That's a good question. No, I would say that all of the sports I enjoy, I really love sports. I enjoyed competing, and I had some really good friends that were on the track team as well, that we, you know, developed great relationships, you know, throughout my high school sports career, you know, through 3 years with those guys, from running track and running cross country. I really don't think it was escape from my household life, because again, my father was was rarely there, that we saw him, you know, we saw him on holidays and again, weekends in the morning, and then he would be off to the racetrack. So it really wasn't much for me to, you know, my brothers and sisters, most of them were out of the house by the time I was in high school. So there really wasn't anything for me to not enjoy at home. Loved being around my mother. Loved just, you know, watching her cook, learning how to cook from her, and, you know, watching her just do everything she could for all of my brothers and sisters. So I had no problems at home in that sense. So it wasn't really an escape. It was just something to do in high school, and I was really very, very good at it. So it was something that I gave up all the other sports that I would have played to run from there on out, because I was just so good at running that it made sense for me just to continue running and not play the other sports I wasn't nearly as good at.
Okay. Okay, what was the hardest thing you ever went through as a child, and how did you end up overcoming it?
I think as a child or as a teenager, or are they all, if they're all involved together there?
You could do child and teenager.
Okay, well, I think the hardest thing for me is
growing up.
Growing up, well, the hardest thing was probably having a father, again, that was an alcoholic, a philanderer, and a compulsive gambler. So it was tough not having a father. My father never attended one sporting event. I wasn't allowed to play organized sports until I was 12 years old. Most of the other kids started playing at, you know, 6 and 7. So I was behind them in the sense that, you know, knowing a lot of the, you know, the rules and things like that, in particular, you know, organized games. So it was tough not having a father see me play any of my sports. He never came to one sporting event. And again, I played, you know, high school basketball, was one of the best runners, you know, actually in the country. He never saw me run one time. So that was kind of difficult. And you would see all the other fathers, you know, at the games, and a lot of the fathers were coaches, and they would, you know, I would have to get rides to, my mother never was allowed to get her license. My father never allowed her to get her license. So I would always have to get a ride from other parents. So that was very difficult. That was always, you always felt like you were imposing on people to have to come by your house and get you and then drop you off. So even though they lived just down the street from me, all the people I would ride with, it just always, it was, you know, kind of a hurtful thing to not have your parent be there to support you.
Okay. Next question. If you were having a conversation with your high school self, what would be something that you would tell yourself today?
If I had to go back and talk to myself in high school, I would tell myself, don't waste my potential. I feel academically as well as athletically, I never gave 100% in anything that I did. Despite being one of the best runners in the state, I would often try to not go to practice. I wouldn't eat right. I wouldn't work out like I should. I wouldn't lift weights. I wouldn't give 100% in practice all the time, because again, I didn't love running. I enjoyed winning, but I didn't love running. But now I think back when I think that if I put 100% into it, how far that could have taken me. And also, I think back, if I put 100% into my academics, it would have been a lot better for me. But one of the really main things I always look back on is, you know, growing up in a family with 6 brothers and 3 sisters, being the youngest, and a father that was very, he was a mean guy. He was not very loving. He was not very, again, not supportive of anything that we wanted to do unless it was involved working. I would say that it kind of made me to be a little bit of a verbal bully, in the sense that, you know, I would sometimes feel bad about my situation, that maybe I would take it out on other kids and pick on other kids that, for no reason that they did to me. It's just like, because I was usually tougher and smarter and had a quicker wit, you know, I could make someone feel really bad. And looking back on it, I wish that I had never treated other kids that way and had been a better person to all the kids. I was, you know, I had a ton of friends, but those kids that were marginalized, I don't think that their life was any easier because of me. And I look back on it and I really think that, boy, you know, I wish I could have made their life better rather than, you know, harder than, which I probably did.
Okay. Did you have any friends who...
What's that, Peanut?
Growing up in the inner cities of Baltimore, and would you say you had any certain friends who would you say stuck by you, or they left you with any lasting impressions growing up in life?
Well, I actually grew up in the suburbs. We moved out of the city when I was 6 years old. All my brothers and sisters grew up in the actual inner city part. We moved out to by the airport in the suburbs when I was 6. But I would say that to this day I still have 2 best friends, and those guys were my best friends since about 7th grade. And I think what those two guys taught me was just always be there for your friends, and no matter what they're going through, always be someone that they can lean on. And even if you couldn't, even if you can't help that person because you might be away, and as distances, you know, separate you guys, and you know, life takes you down different paths and different things you do, but still always be there for each other, even just to talk to, because it's always good to have a great friend where you can just talk to and bounce things off of and say, hey, you know, what do you think? I think I handled this wrong. What do you think? And then, and listen to what they say. And, you know, I think they're, both of those guys have been great family men. They've been great fathers. So I think that we kind of all had the same direction and goal in life where we cared more about, you know, our families and doing right by our wives and our children. And seeing a lot of other guys that I know that are the opposite, where they're very selfish guys, again, where they want to go out golfing every Saturday and Sunday, and they want to, you know, run around and try to talk to other women and things like that, where my two best friends have been very supportive and helpful to their children, as well as I think they've been great husbands as far as the fidelity to their wives and to their family. And they put their family first before anything else. So I think we've all shared that. So I think that's been great to know that, since, you know, that's what I've learned from those guys. And I think they've learned that from me as well.
What would you say three adjectives that your parents would describe you as are?
Three adjectives, yeah, that my parents would describe me as?
Yeah, if you could pick any three.
That they would have? Because as you know, both of them are no longer alive.
Yeah. So.
I would say determined. I would say helpful. And I would say probably compassionate.
Okay. Could you discuss an accomplishment or event that you think marked your transition from childhood to adulthood?
I would think my senior year of high school, I was 17 years old, and my oldest living brother at that point, I had had a brother who had, when I was one, who he had been killed in a car accident when he was 16, and that's probably one of the reasons why I'm so hard with you guys as far as call me when you're there, don't speed, don't tailgate, you know, I'm always wondering about your driving, right? So my brother Ernie had been killed in a car accident at 16, but my next oldest brother, his name was Wayne. When Wayne was 23 or 24 years old, it was he was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease lymphoma, which is cancer. And back then they used a form of radiation therapy to try to kill the cancer. And the doctors said they it was kind of experimental back then. They used so much radiation on him that it caused his arteries in his body to actually start collapsing. It weakened them. So by the time I was a senior in high school, Wayne had to undergo, he was 32 years old, he had to undergo a heart operation for his aorta. They were going to actually use a balloon called an angioplasty, and it was at the National Institute of Health. It was a very experimental procedure back then, but now it's very common and very successful, but back then it was experimental. So when they were doing it to Wayne, they actually were using a balloon to blow his artery back up. They inserted the balloon into the artery and pumped the balloon up, but they actually pumped it up too much and it caused his aorta to explode, and you know, he just bled to death right there on the operating table. So I kind of, you know, just at that point in time, without even, when we were told that he was going for this operation, we weren't told how severe it was and how dangerous it was. So, you know, when you see your brother go for an operation and then 6 hours later they tell you he's dead, that kind of caused me, I think, to grow up really quick and realize that, you know, how precious life was and how that, you know, you really had to cherish every moment that you had with friends and family and loved ones, because they could be taken away from you in the blink of an eye, which my brother Wayne was.
So would you say that you've dealt with many more losses in your family than the average person would usually have to go through at such a young age?
I don't think typically. Well, probably a lot. Maybe, you know, it depends. I mean, it's from everyone else that I see around me. Yes, I've lost more family members and things like that. But I'm sure there's people that have faced a lot of other a lot more instances of tragedy and things like that in their life. Again, I've lost my brother. My three oldest brothers are no longer with me. My brother Wayne, like I just told you about, my brother Ernie, who had died of, you know, the car accident, and my brother Robert, who was the third oldest brother, he overdosed on drugs just a couple years ago. Again, I lost both of my grandparents when I was fairly, or both sets of my grandparents when I was fairly young, and I lost my mother and father both, you know, in their early 70s. So I don't think, from what I've seen with all my friends at my age now, they haven't lost as many people, but doesn't mean it's any less or any more tragic, you know, losing one compared to five.
Yeah. So. Okay. What would you say you are most proud of in life?
Well, I think you know that the answer to that. Probably my boys. I think both your mother and I are very proud of you three guys and what you guys have accomplished and both in school and athletics, but how good of boys you've turned out to be. You really are. Like, we joke around, give you guys a hard time, and you know, me and Mr. Charlie and Mr. Eddie and Mr. Dave and Mr. Mike, but you know, behind closed doors when you guys aren't there, we're all very proud of you guys, and we get nothing but compliments from people that know that you're our children you know, very, very proud that to hear from other people that you behave yourselves and comport yourselves in a great manner when you're outside and when you're around other people.
Okay. Can you describe what was one of the happiest moments of your life?
Well, besides, you know, the birth of all three of you boys. Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know, my wedding day with your mother. That was a tremendously happy day. But you know, I can, there's a lot of days where I can point back to different things that were happy days. But if you had to say, if I had to pick on one A, one B, you know, one C, one D, all, I can't really pick which one's the happiest, but I would say my wedding day and the birth of you three boys.
Okay. If you could give one piece of advice to children or me today, what would that one thing be?
Well, I tell you one thing I think that I would recommend to any senior in high school or someone in college, a young person, and besides all the other things that we've talked about before as far as trying to help you grow up, you know, all the things that we've taught you to be honest, to be kind, to be compassionate, to be a leader, to be, you know, thoughtful and caring and all those things that we've tried to teach you, you know, to give 100%, to don't waste your potential. Because we've talked about all that stuff, like wasting potential. You look back on it and it's one of the hardest things to swallow if you realize that you've wasted potential. But one just generic thing I would say is to really make a list of things that you want to do in life. Make a list, sit down. And it doesn't have to be a one-time list. You can add things to that list and you know, sort of like a bucket list, and actually do them. Actually, you know, keep that list with you. Make it a diary and describe each thing that you did when you accomplished it. So for me, some of the things I wanted to do were, you know, get a tattoo. Well, I got a tattoo. And I got a tattoo of a dolphin around the sun. And everybody says, that's kind of a feminine for a guy. But the reason why I got the dolphin in the side of the sun was because also one of the things I wanted to do in my life was to swim with dolphins. And I guess that goes back to wanting to be a marine biologist. But I always wanted to swim with dolphins. So I said, well, if I'm going to get a tattoo, I'm going to get something that's going to remind me to do something else that I want to do. And that is, you know, to swim with the dolphins. And so I actually got the tattoo like I wanted. I got to swim with the dolphins like I wanted. A big thing I wanted to do was play in the World Series of Poker. And I actually got to do that twice in 2017, 2000. You saw me play in 2018. You were there with me. So that was a great thrill to have you guys out there and see me actually play in the World Series. Another thing I wanted to do was to run a marathon. Even though I was a runner, I'd never run a marathon. And then your Uncle Alan one day said, hey, do you want to run a marathon with me, the Marine Corps Marathon? And I said, well, it's sold out. You can't get in right now. I said, but I know the guy that's the race director. And I knew him from working with the Wizards. So I called him up and he said, if you want to run, of course, I can get you out there. So he got me and Alan two front row bibs. They call them bibs. You have numbers that you wear on your front chest. We were numbers 27 and 28. And we were at the very front when they shoot off the cannon at the Marine Corps Marathon. And I accomplished the feat of running a marathon. So, you know, I would say to you at this age, just start thinking of some of the things that you want to do. Go to Hawaii and go to Alaska. There was two things I wanted to do. And I was able to accomplish both of those. I actually took your mom to Hawaii and took her on a trip with the Wizards to Alaska. So we got to do that. We got to see bears from 50 yards away and pull salmon out of a river and cook it right next to the river. So it was incredible.